you may not have stopped to think about this, and I didn't until I looked at this particular chapter, and I want you to keep your Bibles open to this chapter. This chapter, Luke chapter 9, Luke does in one chapter what Matthew wrote about from Matthew chapter 10 through Matthew chapter 17. He puts a summary in one chapter of Matthew chapter 10 all the way through Matthew 17. And he sums it all up in this one chapter. Now, this is what caught my attention. Chapter 9 of Luke and verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them what? Power and what? Authority over all what? All what? All devils. And to cure what? Diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. So verse 1, he gives them power and authority over all what? Devils, and to cure what? Diseases. Verse 6, and they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. The comparison verse to this, if you'll allow me to read it to you, is found in Mark chapter 6 and verse 13. After he sends them out, the Bible says, and they cast out many devils. They could do that because he gave them authority and power to do that. They cast out many devils and anointed with oil. I'm amazed people don't, they believe James is the only passage that talks about anointing with oil. But they anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. So they did just what he said to do. Would you agree with that? He sent them out, gave them power over diseases, power over these devils. And they went out and did exactly what Jesus said to do. Let's fast forward now. As we fast forward, let's begin with verse 38. Verse 38 takes place after the Mount of Transfiguration. They have now gone up to the mountain, three of the 12. Nine were left behind. They go to the mountaintop. They experience this transfiguration experience, where the glory of God is manifest. Jesus is transfigured. And then after he's transfigured, they see Moses and Elijah. And as they're there with Moses and Elijah, finally they have to come back down off the mountain. And when they come down off the mountain, in verse 38, this is the first thing they encounter. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee. So he's speaking specifically to Jesus. Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. Now what's this next phrase? And I besought thy disciples to cast him out. And what's the next three words? They could not. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I thought he sent them out and gave them power and authority to do that. But by the time you get to this passage, which the correlating passage is the end of that excerpt from those seven chapters out of Matthew, the time you get there, you find out they could not do it. And the answer to it really is summed up in verse 55. He turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit you're of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And my question is simple. What manner of spirit are ye? What manner of spirit do you have? Now think with me for just a moment. We read this and we think that it's a short period of time. I personally, and again, every time I say something like this, I get scolded because people read the Bible in a certain order and they get things in their head. And I can't help it if they don't want to think. I can't change that. I'm not going to fight with them. I'm not going to argue with them. If you only knew how many times a week I get scolded. Well, that's not the way it was in the order of Scripture. Well, you can't just read the order of Scripture and that's the order that it took place. Man placed the Scriptures in order for us to understand. But I just told you, you have to read 7 chapters in Matthew to get 1 chapter out of Luke. I know you missed an hour of sleep. But I'm not worried about the sleep you lost. I'm worried about the power that you may lose. Something happened from where he gave them authority until finally they became of such a spirit or attitude or thought of themselves differently than what they really were. Their spirit deceived them. They deceived themselves. The devil didn't deceive them. They deceived themselves. Something happened. They lost power somewhere between the first verse in this chapter and when this happened. Time-wise, again, don't scold me for it. I believe it was 2 months. In 2 months, they lost power with God. I see some folks lose it in 2 days. I see some folks lose it in 2 hours. And I don't care who you are, just because you get blessed one time and filled with the power of God one time doesn't mean that's good enough to get you through the rest of your life. They lost power with God. You can sum it up any way you want to, slice it, dice it, say what you want to. In the end, something happened. They said, Lord, we asked your disciples to do it. Why did they ask the disciples to do it? Because he had given them authority to do it. They should have had power to do it. Something had to happen to cause them not to be able to do it. Now you hear me. I may lose sleep, but I don't want to lose power. I may lose health, but I don't want to lose the power that God gave me. I may lose money, but I don't want to lose power with God. I may lose friends, but I don't want to lose power with God. I may lose out in many areas of life, but I don't want to lose power with God. I may lose my mind, but I don't want to lose my power with God. It is possible to lose power with God. It is possible for a church that is alive with the power of God in 2 months' time not be able to muster up anything from God or see God do anything. Plain and simple, here's how you tell. When there is a challenge, spiritual challenge, and you fail, you have lost power with God. Isn't that what happened? They were called on to do something. Oh, we love success. We love to brag about our success. We love to talk about our success. Everybody lives on the highs and lives on the special days and lives on the great times. But to me, I love the normal days. When God shows up when the crowd isn't big. When the preacher goes ahead and preaches when no one says amen. When you go ahead and praise God when nobody else is running the house, but you still lift your hand to God and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. You can't afford to lose power with God. Oh, it's amazing. They became a well-oiled machine. They knew how to do it. They knew how to manipulate everything. We've become masters of manipulation. We know how to manipulate the music and we know how to manipulate the invitation. And we know how to manipulate the business and we know how to manipulate everything that goes on in a church to fool ourselves to think that we have power with God. But let me tell you something. You're not fooling nobody. I called on Eli to pray. I did that specifically because I had no doubt whatsoever when he prayed the other night, he prayed in the Spirit for an offering. Over an offering. We have to have power with God. Why did they lose power with God? Can I give you just a few reasons? Look with me in these verses and I'll tell you why they lost power with God. Verse 10 gives us the wrong spirit. There's about three or four wrong spirits that we can have that will affect our power with God. Verse 10, the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. They didn't say, Lord, let me tell you what you did for us. They said, let me tell you what I have done. Let me tell you what we have done. When we get an inflated spirit, that we get to thinking that we're the one that's doing it, then we're in trouble. Because the truth of the matter is, God can do it without us. But if we get overinflated in our mind, whether we get to thinking that we're something, or that we're so great and we're so wonderful, the truth of the matter is, we are nothing without Christ. The reason that they failed, Jesus was on the mountain and they were in the valley. They were there without Christ. And can I tell you, you can do nothing without Christ. I can do nothing without Christ. But with Christ, all things are possible. I know Jesus is not here as far as physically standing in front of me. I can come into this pulpit. I can preach from my mind. And you may not know the difference. But if I cannot preach with His presence, if Christ is not in me, it's just a message. If you sing without Christ being in you, or His presence being in you, it's just a song. Have you ever met inflated spirits? Jesus knows how to treat an inflated spirit. You want to do it without me? Go ahead. You'll fall. Flat on your face, you'll fall. You'll fail. Anytime we do it without Christ, we'll fail. Not only did they have an inflated spirit, but look if you will. Look in verse 46 of this same chapter, verse 46. Then there arose a reasoning among them. Which of them should be greatest? You've got to be kidding me. They're not doing anything great right now. They have failed and don't know it. And they're arguing over who's going to be the greatest. They couldn't cast out these spirits that God had given them power and authority over. And now suddenly they're worried about who's going to be the greatest, who's going to get the most applause, who's going to be the most wonderful, who's going to be the most acknowledged, who's going to be the greatest, Lord. What do you call that? I call that an immature spirit. Well, I'm mad at the preacher. He didn't tell me how great I was. I'm upset because so-and-so got sick and they got more cards than what I got. They filled a position and didn't look at me. Immature spirit. Now listen, to all of us that's older Christians, the number one thing we've got to guard against is becoming childish as we get older. When I was a child, Paul said, I spake as a child. But there comes a time in our life where that we have to move beyond childish things. And we can excuse that with age, but you cannot excuse that with spiritual matters. I better move on. That's not going too good right now. Childish. Babies. Okay. I have more to tell you, but you cannot bear these things right now. Oh, go home and suck your thumb and stay mad at me. Grow up! Grow up! I do anything for God as long as I think it hinges on me. I don't need your recognition. I don't need you to tell me I did a good job preaching or I didn't do a good job preaching. At the end, I'm going to stand before the King of Glory. And as long as I can stand in this pulpit and feel the power of God blow through me, that's all that matters. Nothing else is important. Immature. Immature. You know how many people are watching us by live stream that should be here this morning, but they're not here because they're childish. Preacher preached a sermon, and I know he was singling me out. Boy, you think you're pretty important, don't you? I didn't single you out. It was the Holy Ghost singled you out. When the Holy Ghost roots me out and shows something in my life, I've got two options. Take care of it. And if I don't take care of it and get it right with God, I will lose power with God. Immature. Verse 49. Hold on. Just take a deep breath. We're about there. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. See, some people, they don't have an immature spirit, and some people don't have an inflated spirit. They've got an inconsiderate spirit. They're not considerate of others. They don't have any respect for others. Now, I don't have to agree with you to be considerate to you. I need to be considerate of all people. See, really what he was saying is, Lord, we told him, you got to stop that because you're not in our clique. You didn't go to our college. And you've got your rabbi, but we've got the master. We heard it firsthand, so because we heard it firsthand from the master, then we've got more knowledge than what you've got. You're hearing secondhand information. And they were casting that out, and we just stopped them. We just said, you can't do that. There's a lot of people that really, I feel sorry for them. They actually think that the only ones that's going to heaven are Baptists. And they actually think the only ones going to heaven are Nazarene. And they only think that some think the only one that's going to heaven or has any spirit is holiness people. Or they think the only ones that's saved and has the power of God is Pentecostal people or apostolic people. Are you getting the gist? I'm not singling individuals out. I'm just saying it's across the board. They think that you have to be a particular religion. You have to be a particular type group. You have to have a particular label. If you don't have that label, do you know how much we get criticized here at the church because you don't know who you're worshiping beside? You may be worshiping beside a Pentecostal. You may be beside of a Baptist. You may be beside of a Methodist. Really, they're not that anymore. Or if they are that, they've come to the place that they understood. It doesn't matter what the label is. I'm not against any of those things. There's a place for denominations. But when you come to this place, you need to be considerate of one another. Considerate of the fact that the truth of the matter is, it's not the label that we wear. It's not the label that we wear. I am not filled with God's power because I'm of a particular church, a particular denomination. Jesus said, what's the matter with you? I didn't give this to you only, but what I have is for all people. He'll pour out His Spirit on all flesh. He loves you and cares for you and will use you. And God says, I will give you power in my name. It's not restricted to me, just preachers. Or just deacons or just teachers, whosoever will, you can come this morning and God will pour out His Spirit on you and power on you to do mighty things. I'm telling you, we cannot be inconsiderate. So when you start that business, you see him out there now dancing around. I pray God makes you dance all over this place. You don't know what someone came from. You don't know the burden that they're under. It's all right for you to sit there like a gnawing log. And I'll just say it the way it is. Some of you used to praise God. You used to weep. You used to get happy. But now you act like church is a chore. I'm concerned that our church could lose power with God. And I'm telling you, I want God to be welcome in this place. I want His Spirit to fill it home in our life and in our gathering. Oh, we need God more than anything. Oh, glory to God. Inconsiderate. Can I give you one more? Let me just give you one more. Look down in verse 54. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? That was the straw that broke the camel's back. That's when Jesus said, you don't know what manner of spirit you have. He said, you've deceived yourself. You've got an ignorant spirit and an accurate spirit. You've got a perception of yourself that's not true. You've got to be kidding me. These disciples couldn't do what Jesus had already given them to do. It's like giving a child. Imagine this. You give a child $10 to go to the dairy bar. And the child goes to the dairy bar and they say, your order is $4.11. And the child looks around for somebody else to pay for it. And they get nervous. How am I going to pay for it? They got $10 in their pocket. They have what they need already. Mommy or daddy has given them what they need. Their father's already provided it for them. But they don't know what he gave them. And therefore they don't know what to do with it. Because they don't know what they have from Him. And they deceive themselves. Sometimes though, there's people that realize that. And they spend all of that $10. And they get so used to somebody else doing it for them, that now suddenly they think they can go to the dairy bar, order what they want, look around, even if they don't have anything in their pocket. Hey, you're not fooling nobody. We can tell if you study. You're not fooling nobody. We can tell if you prepared and sought God. You're not kidding anybody. We can tell when the power of God is there when somebody prays. I want to tell you something, church. This world's getting more and more and more and more wicked. And the more you lean on manipulation and the less you lean on spiritual power, the more trouble you're going to find yourself in. Because the truth of the matter is, we're worried about so many things that we have no business worrying about. I cannot believe how terrified that the church is. I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about the church world over coronavirus. I cannot believe. I see them wringing their hands. I hear it everywhere. What kind of power do you have? You say, well, preacher, you're saying you won't get it? If I do get it, thank God I believe I know some people that can lay their hands on me and pray that
a prayer of faith in Jesus' name and anoint with oil, and God heal me. And not only that, I believe I ought to be able to lay my own hands on my own body and on my own head and say, Lord, you said you have all power to heal all things. The truth of the matter is, you can't stop it. It's a sign of the end times. All you're going to do is make Purex rich. I'm not opposed. I sanitize my hand every time I go into a room and back out. Just the way that I put on a mask. When they tell me to put on a mask. But the truth of the matter is, the devil could still make a way for that to get in. If it's not it, it's going to be something else. You're missing the whole point of all this. We're talking about coming together and trying to find sanitation stations. But I don't see anybody praying about it. When are we going to take our authority and say, Lord, it's one of two things. Either you're coming to get us real, real soon. And Lord, if your coming's not real, real soon, we take the authority that you gave to us as a church of believers, and we claim the promise of your word that by your stripes we are healed. And I pray in Jesus' name. Now that takes power. You'll not do it without the power of God. I'm going to ask you a question for you to answer in your heart. What manner of spirit are ye? What's your attitude? You can go ahead and cover it up. You can act like, yeah, I've got more power than I've ever had. But they couldn't fool that daddy. His boy was still sick. His boy was still possessed. His boy was still off throwing himself into the fire and into the water. Said he's the same. And he finally got face to face with reality and said, Lord, I went to your disciples and they could not. If somebody hit a brick wall and they needed help from heaven, would they come to you? There is a difference between hearing a prayer chain call and giving a prayer chain call and praying. There is a difference between a prayer chain and a gossip line. Big difference. Big difference. Oh God, I don't want to be a powerless preacher. I don't want to be a powerless pastor. I don't want to go into the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and have no power. I don't want to get somebody's prayer request and just slide it aside, not even talk to you about it. I don't want somebody to come to these altars and me lay hands on them and ever doubt what you can do for them, Lord. And I sure don't want to mount up in this pulpit without the power of God on me. I don't want to go through the routines and I don't want to manipulate it. I want power. Now here's the proof. Here's the proof right here. When I give the invitation, some it'll be just like water off a duck's back. I know. But if I can just get a few that could believe God for all that He says He is, this church could become a spiritual dynamite factory for the glory of God. Power. Something happened in 2 months.
a loss of power. Now you know where you're at. You know your spirit. I don't know your spirit. You know your spirit. Oh God, give us the power. Oh God, give us the power. Oh God, give us the power.